No one person has the same goal or aspiration. And what you get when you give people money and let them use it is this real rich human experience where everyone does something a bit different.
Hi, I'm Anthony Fisher with Reason TV, and I'm joined by Paul Niehaus, the president and co-founder of GiveDirectly. Paul, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
What's GiveDirectly?
GiveDirectly is a relatively new nonprofit organization with a really different concept of how we can use money to help people overseas who don't have much. We take money from donors and give it directly to extremely poor people living in East Africa, and then they get to decide what to do with it, not us.
What was the impetus behind starting this app?
We got going when the co-founders and I were in grad school doing graduate degrees in economic development, and we really wanted to rethink this basic question of how can we use money to help people who don't have much of it. And when you put it that way, it's obvious that one thing you could do is give it to them and let them use it. But typically that's not what we do, right? Instead, what we've built is almost this benevolent bureaucracy, right, of these large international organizations that fundamentally are there to make decisions on behalf of the poor about what they should get. Should they get a cow? Should they get training? Should they get a loan?
So the money transfers take place via cell phone. What percentage of the world's poorest actually have cell phones?
Well, first, it's surprisingly high. When we show up in a community, and these are some of the poorest people in the world, so they're living on an average of around 65 nominal cents a day, right? So that means like your morning latte is probably 1 week's budget for our typical recipient. Many of these people will still have at least access to a phone, around half of the people that we meet. But you don't actually even need one. All people literally need is a SIM card that they can plug into someone else's phone to receive transfers.
Where does the money come from?
Well, originally us. So when we first got going, it was literally just friends and family. You know, we wanted to be able to give our money this way because we felt really compelled by the evidence that it's a very effective way of giving, and just could not find anybody that would let us give our own money that way. You know, it's just very counter to the way things are typically done. Over time, what's happened is since we've launched it publicly 3 years ago is just really rapid growth to around 20 million in revenue right now we're running. And I'd say a lot of that is coming from kind of people in our generation, people who are making money working in sort of quantitative industries like finance, technology, people who really sort of believe in quantitative approaches and care about evidence. But I think on an even more basic level, people who want something that's more authentic and more honest than, you know, the traditional way that we've thought about giving.
Can you estimate how much more money you think gets directly to the people through your app than through traditional charities?
Yeah, that's the question that we all want to know the answer to. The reason it's so hard, frankly, is because nonprofit accounting is typically such a mush, right? So you can go and get these IRS numbers like percent overhead, percent program services. The problem is they really don't mean much, right? So even if you take the percent going to program services, which is what we typically think about, that basically just means how much money is going to Africa. And then all of that could be going to salaries or office space, or it just doesn't measure like value created for the recipients. So what we've done is we said something very simple. We're just gonna measure how efficient we are by what fraction of every dollar that you give us we put into the hands of a recipient in Africa. And right now we're running at around 91 cents. So I can't compare that, but I think it would be tough to beat.
Critics might say that if you don't give charitable money to a third party, then the recipients might spend it on things like drugs or alcohol. What, in your experience, how's the money being spent?
Yeah, this is really the core of the story, you know, and the reason that we got going. So something important happened in development around 2000, which is that we started to do scientific experimental testing, right? And it's kind of amazing because we've been doing development for 50 years and hadn't really done that very much. And what's great is that when you start doing science, when you sort of put two things head to head and ask what's the impact, there are surprises, right? So some things that you thought were going to work really well turn out not to, and some things that you thought wouldn't work turn out to work really well. And I think that cash transfers, just literally giving money to poor people, has turned out to be one of those really big positive surprises over the last decade, to the point where I think there are now sort of a stronger, more rigorous scientific evidence base in favor of cash transfers than just about any other tool that we have in the development toolbox. So in particular, a lot of those negative stereotypes that we have, people are just gonna get drunk or they're gonna waste it on gambling, things like that. Not only has there been no evidence to suggest that, but there's been, if anything, evidence, I think, of the opposite.
What kind of evidence do you have? What are they spending the money on?
Yeah, so you know what we see in our data, which I think is great, is this real diversity. In some studies, we've seen impacts on health, reductions in HIV. In others, we've seen these long-term increases in earnings. When you look at our data, you know, you'll see there are some people who buy cows. That's about 30% of the sample. There are a lot of people who invest in upgrading their housing, who buy durable assets. People's incomes go up by around 30% for every dollar that they receive. And then there are crazy things. You know, there's one guy who bought musical instruments and started a band. and tourists. So I think, you know, part of the story here is that on average people are doing good things and their lives are getting better. But the other part of the story is that, you know, there really is no on average, right? Everybody's very different. No one person has the same goal or aspiration. And what you get when you give people money and let them use it is this real rich human experience where everyone does something a bit different.
Is any part of GiveDirectly a reaction to, say, bureaucratic waste among, you know, larger charities?
Yeah, you know, I think it's, the way I think about this is, you know, we do have this very top-heavy bureaucratic system. There's a lot of overhead in it, and frankly, nobody really knows how much overhead, right? There are no data to tell us. So it's kind of a guess, you know, how much is going to get through and what it's going to get spent on. I'm somewhat sympathetic. I think that, you know, if you looked at the world 10 years ago without the evidence we now have and without the technology, right, that lets us put money electronically into someone's hands if they have a SIM card, you might say, you know, maybe this is the best approach, the best we can do. But I think those two big trends of the new evidence and the new technology really make me step back and question, you know, I think we can probably do something much better.
How do you get the word out to people in East Africa? How are they aware of GiveDirectly? How are they lining themselves up with the communication to receive funds?
So we go door to door. So we're primarily a field organization, and that's a bit different from a lot of other startup nonprofits recently that are more focused on the fundraising, the marketing side. So, you know, we control all of our own operations. That means that we have guys who are going door to door in East Africa. They're signing people up for the program. They're capturing data digitally, which we're then routing back into our systems. We're auditing. We're looking for fraud, and then signing them up for these mobile payment systems that let them get money on their phone.
Moving ahead, how do you plan on selling GiveDirectly to America or the first world? How are you going to convince people that this is the future, giving people cash for them to spend it on their on whatever they see fit?
Yeah. We're, you know, I'm really excited about this. And I think I'd be perfectly honest that over the first few years, we've really just focused on kind of reaching out and communicating to people like us, people who are pretty quantitative, who like to lead research papers, who care about numbers. So it's been great to connect with that community. I think we have a wonderful support base. But, you know, we also think there's a much more human side to this that we do want people to be able to experience. So longer term, you know, with all the data that we have in our databases, you know, we have people's photographs, we have their stories, we know what their aspirations are, their goals, their challenges. And we know when something goes wrong. So we know if someone has to pay a bribe or if there's a their house burns down, if there's a bad outcome. And we really want people to get that unfiltered view, right? I think that the way the poor are presented to us today through nonprofit marketing is this very stylized, spun version where we pick a few success stories and we say, that's the way it is. We'd like you to be able to see for the specific people that I gave my money to, here's what actually happened. And there will be successes and failures and things that you never would have expected. And I think it's an exciting adventure.
Has there been any pushback on the ground in East Africa or from other charitable organizations that feel like your model doesn't work or that you're chiseling in on their territory?
You know, it's a funny thing. You know, because of all this evidence, cash transfers are now widely accepted by governments, by institutions, by the kind of the aid agencies of the world. Less so by the typical American on the street. It's still a bit of a new idea. So we've heard criticism. We've had people tell us, you guys must be smoking crack, you know, anything you can imagine. But I think those are the good conversations to have, right? It's great to get out and talk about what are our preconceptions and what do the data actually say, and I relish it.
Thanks so much for talking to us. Paul Niehaus, the president of GiveDirectly. For Reason TV, I'm Anthony Fisher.